Hello, and welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. Today on the show is Peter Lorimer, who co-hosts the Netflix series Stay Here. The show helps owners of Airbnb listings redesign their space into these beautiful, show-stopping moneymakers. The show's a little bit of design, a little bit business, a little bit of a travel show, and the best part is you can actually go and find these listings and stay in them right now. Peter started as a music producer and began investing in Los Angeles property. And fast forward to today, he now owns the real estate agency PLG Estates. I love chatting with him, so I hope you enjoy. I was reading a book by this woman who gives, she's a business strategist, Erica Keswin, and she was talking about, she went to all these different companies across the country to kind of observe what companies were doing things right to create, to make a more human workplace, I guess you would say. And she said that someone in leadership at Netflix has a weekly meeting where anyone in the company is allowed to come, but if you come, you absolutely have to participate. You can't just like, which I think is good because then
I think it's good too.
Makes you obviously prepare and like come to it with, you know.
I thought we were going to talk about another meeting, which obviously can't be talked about right now.
Oh.
I'm like, oh my God, they've heard about it. So I'm going to keep you in suspense and say,
what,
sorry.
Season two of Stay Here?
Oh, no. Hopefully, you know, that I'm pretty certain that's happening.
Really?
Yeah.
I Googled it because I was like, have they already said anything? I didn't find anything.
Well, you know, TV land is, are we rolling?
Yeah, if it sound good?
Sweet.
Okay.
TV land is all very mysterious. And as you know, there is no benefit to anyone to, if we're going to be shooting this 6 months from now, to say, you're picked up now.
Right, exactly.
They always leave it till the last minute, I'm told.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
For every show.
Because it's not going to come out forever, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I was speaking with a pal of mine today, and he's like, yep, TV, you know, they don't pick you up until the very last day or the 2 days before or whatever. He said, you know, sometimes they do, but it's the absolute norm that you aren't going to hear anything until the very last minute.
Oh. And Netflix is pretty notorious for not saying anything about how a show's doing, right?
Correct.
So you haven't heard anything?
I have no idea. Well, I've heard that people really like it and there's been a really good response and the feedback's been amazing. But, you know, then I'm like, so season two? They're like, well, we're still working on that.
You know, we're having meetings about it.
But I would have, exactly. You know, it's, listen, for me, I call it the Death Star, right? Because it's like, just, I feel like I'm walking into like this, you know,
yeah.
It's this forbidden warship of power. And it's super, have you been in there? It's like super modern and gorgeous.
No.
No offense against your, you know, your blue carpet and red walls. And have you seen the bathrooms here? I need to get Genevieve here. So
stat though, for real.
Oh, and you said it was a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I was saying how they just redid this floor.
What the hell did it look like before? It probably looked... Anyway, I can't say. I don't want to get. I'm probably going to get removed from the building before the podcast.
No, it's fine. We like the honesty. I think that people need more honesty in the workplace.
Horrific was a word that sprang to mind when I went in the bathroom.
Yeah, the bathroom is. It's like blue tile floor, right? And I mean, also fluorescent lights
and rust
make anything.
Nothing like a bit
terrible.
Of rust to say, welcome home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and when you look in the mirror and there's like fluorescent lights everywhere, if you take a picture in here and stuff, it always looks bad.
Looks like a police station.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever been in one, of course.
Have you?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Well, everyone's like kind of dabbled in that. Now,
there's a podcast in itself.
No, I was just going to say, I had to go for TPing a house in high school, and it scared me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Police. Forever. Permanently scarred. Did you see that Netflix today actually increased? It's funny we're talking about Netflix because it's a big story out that Netflix is increasing their subscription fee. Yeah, not by, I mean, it's...
Is our show that popular?
It is. Everyone wants a piece of Stay Here. It's like, I think the most popular plan is $11 a month and now it's $13. It's, you know, just a little bit
more. So it's $2?
Yeah, I think because I was reading, if I understand it correctly, they're increasing it because they've invested a ton in content, you know?
Well, I think this, and I could be wrong here, I'm not the Netflix aficionado, but it's my understanding, they spent $1 billion on content.
Wow.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Last year.
I believe it. There's so much. This is the Stay Here show is the first There aren't many renovation shows on Netflix, original to Netflix, right?
No. There's Queer Eye, which of course is great.
Yeah.
That's an original show. And then there's Us. I think there's probably one or two things more coming. But obviously there's a lot of stuff from the Beeb, such as, you know, World's Most Extraordinary Homes and stuff.
Yeah.
But from what I can see, we're the first Airbnb-based business/renovation show out there.
Yeah, that's not on HGTV or any of those networks that, you know, do like home renovation type.
Yeah, I don't know of any
content.
Others.
Yeah, and it's funny that we're talking that you're in here and I'm thinking so much about Airbnb because this year, specifically this week, I've been looking at Airbnbs for 3 separate trips this year, and ever since watching the show, I've been way more focused on like, what is this headline? Like, this is like a good headline. The catchy words and the like great photography.
Yes.
And you can tell how much time the property owner has really invested in the listing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like these people aren't like novices.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell the super hosts.
Exactly. I mean, I think what we've seen is, and part of the reason why I'm so attracted to the world of Airbnb, short-term rental, whatever you want to call it, is because it started as a, pardon the pun, cottage industry, which was mom and pops who had a spare room or a, you know, a guest house at the bottom of the garden. And now it's blossomed into this sophisticated multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
But there are still the roots of it are still kind of nestled in the fact that it's an industry that's relatively new and it's kind of still finding its way. And I love that. And you see that with the pictures. Some of the pictures are, oh my, I mean, they're
gorgeous.
They're a disaster.
Oh, yes. Or terrible.
Or terrible.
Yeah.
Or you know, there's like some shaky iPhone picture in the dark and there's a trash bag under the kitchen table. And I'm like,
yeah.
Would you stay there if you owned it?
I
wouldn't.
Yeah.
And now I think the mentality of the public is, and this is why I'm lucky to work in real estate as well as short-term rental, because, you know, all the philosophies that we deploy in selling a home or getting a home ready, they're all the same for short-term rental.
Oh, exactly. So if you're working with a client that's trying to sell their home, you're basically telling them, all right, you need to, like, you're giving them design advice,
yep.
I'm assuming, of
yep.
like, this is going to sell better if you, like, change this wall color or whatever,
100%.
Clean it up.
You mean the maroon in here?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, listening on the podcast, there is a maroon wall from 1995 that is my warmth. I feel like I'm back in my north of England.
Peter, it's the statement wall with two outlets in the dead center of the wall.
It says.
Why do you think they did that?
There's two hang outlets. A TV.
Oh, true.
And you're the TV person?
Hey. I'm the just show up and do stuff and then I don't know anything. So is there an Airbnb that you've ever stayed in that was just awesome? Like, let's say
yes.
in Los Angeles or anywhere. Like, what's a memorable one that you stayed in?
So funny enough, it's one of the last ones that I stayed in. I had the chance to go back to my hometown, which is, for all you guys who may be listening in Old Blighty, it's Leeds, which is in Yorkshire, near Manchester. I haven't lived there in a long, long time, but I went back and I stayed in an Airbnb, funny enough, in an area of Leeds, which used to be off limits. It used to be ladies of the night and drug dealers and horrible folks. It was down by the docks, and now it's this beautiful kind of cappuccino bar, you know, startups, trendy stuff.
Yeah.
And there was this place called The Bells. If you're ever thinking about staying anywhere in Leeds, The Bells. And it was named after 7 different famous bells, like Liberty Bell and Big Ben and et cetera, et cetera. And everything about that was beyond delicious. From the moment I got there to the moment I left, it was perfection.
Why?
Because one of the arts to being a successful short-term rental purveyor is predicting what the guests want before they know they want it. So I rented this. It was pimped, but it was this kind of 2-story industrial loft that had a floating bedroom that was surrounded by glass and then looked down into this beautiful, very kind of trendy loft-like space with great art. They had, so when I walked in, they had the candles going. Bing, 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 bing. Awesome. Yeah. And there were expensive smellies. And they had the music going, which was electro, kind of hip.
Oh, wow.
Not too ooch, 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 which is what I used to do for a living.
Yeah.
But more, you know, kind of like Portishead, kind of. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I feel smellies are good.
I like this vibe.
Music's
going on.
Good. And I got there in the evening and it was dimly lit. I was walked in by a concierge. Right, it's not a hotel. These are Airbnbs, but there are seven of them, so they have a full time staff member hanging out. And then here is one thing that I challenge anyone who's going to own an Airbnb that they should do. When imagine that you are totally new to this environment. You might know where the kettle is. You might know where the broom is. You might know where the coffee machine is. You might know all of this stuff. But imagine you're clueless. Every instinctual move I made to find a knife, I pulled the drawer, there were the knives. And I'm like, okay, I bet you the tea bags are here. Tea bags were there.
Ding, ding, ding.
It was like A+. And then the icing on the cake. I'm going to mention smellies again, because I love my smellies. So in a bathroom, right, bathrooms can be such a foe as well. We can touch on that later. But they got this absolutely right, because they could have had, you know, good quality soaps like Crabtree and Evelyn. And I would have been awesome. That's awesome. They had Molton Brown. Now, I'm not a brand guy. I'm certainly not sponsored by anyone. But Molton Brown, for me, I'm an Englishman, and it's an English company, and it's kind of a nice company.
Right.
And so it took me to that next level of... this is lovely.
Yeah.
This is really nice. And I like the way my hands smell when I left. And little things like that turn a good review into a great review. And great reviews mean more guests,
right,
and more. And you increase the ROI, the return on investment.
Gotcha. And you said that the people who own this particular property, this was like a company that...
No, it was two guys. Funny enough, one of them, he and I grew up within a square... quarter of a mile, but I didn't know him.
Oh, wow.
We went to the same schools, and they weren't good schools. They were rough. But this is an area of Leeds, and apologies to anybody listening in Leeds, it's now changed, but Bramley, when I grew up, was, you know, a little bit sketchy. And he and I lived a few streets apart, never met him, and him and his husband own this.
Wow.
And it's just glorious.
That's great. Do you think that they looked you up? They know that. How long ago was this?
2 months.
So did they know that you had a show about short-term rentals?
No, they knew after I got there.
Oh, okay.
Because my office called from LA, and I think somebody Googled.
Yeah.
But they didn't know. But they found out, and nothing changed.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a bottle of champagne arrived or anything.
Right.
And I didn't get a discount.
Yeah.
But
they were already, they already had their flow down of being a good.
It was spectacular. And conversely, I've stayed in ones that are not as nice.
Not as good. That's such a good point about knowing, just like wherever you instinctively think the utensil drawer is, of knowing where things are and putting those things in places that make sense.
Yep.
Yeah, I've stayed in a few where you're like, oh, shoot, are there any sheets? Like, shoot, where would there be extra towels? And you're just like searching through this home.
It's got to be intuitive, and it can't be full of old crap.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Airbnbs were born by what we called on the show kind of the junk drawer theory, which is a spare room or a guest house that was maybe once a potting shed or something, and now people are putting their old furniture in it that they're not using anymore. Granny's couch and an old dining table and a kid's TV set.
Yeah.
But now it's changed. People need to look upon this space as a supplemental business that they are the CEO of.
Yeah, this show does such a good job of hammering that into your brain, because I feel like a lot of people here that I know personally, they'll travel for work, so they put their apartment or, you know, wherever they're living on Airbnb and rent it out just to make like a side income, basically.
Right.
And one of the things that I never really thought much about was to depersonalize the space. Like, people have pictures up, and when someone is coming in as a guest to stay in your house, it's like, who are these people? You know, it makes it feel more like, oh, there's people living here.
Well, people feel like they're intruding and they're like, yeah, I don't really want to, you know what, let's just go get a hotel.
Yeah.
I think the subtle difference between a hotel and short-term rental, not subtle, there are lots of massive differences, is when I say book a place, one place I've never been to in the States, well, there's lots, but one place I've never been to is the Florida Keys.
Oh.
So if I go to the Florida Keys, I don't really want to stay at one of those big hotels. I'd rather rent a beach house, you know, from someone who I can kind of find out who they are.
Yeah.
And there'll be some bikes there and I'll get there and I'll be able to. The key phrase is I want to live like a local. I want to live how the owners of that property live.
Right.
With their recommendations, like I'm an extended, you know, family member or a friend, not just some tourist coming to check in a hotel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah, that's the fun part about staying in an Airbnb anywhere is exactly that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll still stay in a hotel. I mean, that has perks, definitely. But just staying in someone's home and even just seeing how they decorated it. I'm so nosy like that. I just love to see how a space is set up because it gives you ideas for when you get home, too.
Yeah.
You know?
It does. And you know, we saw some stuff. I mean, you saw the beginning, the before and after on the show.
Yeah. It's, yeah. The really quickly, before we get into the show, I'm curious, how did you, well, I know that you had a background for a long time working in, you were a DJ, you were a music
producer.
Songwriter. Oh, songwriter too.
Yeah.
How long were you in that industry for?
Well, without giving away my age, I was young. Forgive me my sniffles. I've got allergies. You can edit that out, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. So I got into the music business young, right? I ran away from home. Uh-huh. Not ran away. I just kind of left.
Yeah.
And moved to London. And I was kind of in recording studios by 17 years old.
Oh, okay.
And then I stayed in that industry. I had I started at the bottom, like the T-boy and then within a few years had a lot of hits in the UK, mainly in electronic music.
Yeah.
Because I was there at the very birth of it. And then got the opportunity to be kind of transplanted into the US to continue with dance music. Did really well at that. And my first, I think, 8 years here, I was producing records in the States.
Oh, wow.
And had, you know, over 30 number ones with in the Billboard Club charts. And
where were you living? LA?
And LA.
Oh, okay. So as long as you've lived in the United States, you've mostly been based in LA?
Only been in LA.
Only?
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought it was going to be New York, but I only lived here. And then, right, I've always been a tech nerd. And I
can tell. You have the coolest gadgets with you.
A little bit sad. But anyway, it's amazing. I'm so much of a nerd. I had a camera, and now I've got a backup camera. Yeah. Because the other one failed.
You come prepared. I like
got another camera. Yeah. Anyway, and then I follow trends and I follow kind of like sociological trends and business trends. And I remember reading in a chat room, this is before AOL chat rooms, some kid wrote, "Do you know about ripping?" And I'm like, "Ripping? What the hell's ripping?"
Oh no, right.
And it was like, you can now extract the zeros and ones off a CD and you can essentially steal the music. So at that moment, I'd been in the music business for a long time, 16 years or something, 17 years, and I wanted to do something else.
Yeah.
And I'd had a really good run and a bunch of hits and I'd made a bunch of money. And so I was like, okay. And then where this next thought came from, I have no idea. My mother was living in England at the time. My brother moved to Australia when I moved to London, which is whatever that is, 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And I was like, well, LA property, why is LA property so cheap? And, well, was.
Yeah.
and I was fascinated by the internet. And I had this gut feeling that, well, won't everybody be able to use the internet for everything at some point?
Right.
And so if you, and then there were these chat rooms like, you'll be able to work from the beach on your laptop. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, that means that LA is going to fill up. Because if you can work from anywhere, this city is going to fill up because, number one, it's cheap, the weather's awesome, and California is the best place to live. So I just started investing in property.
Gotcha.
And I started investing in areas, in two specific areas that were kind of risky, North Hollywood being one.
Gotcha.
And downtown LA being another. And this is
Smart.
Right around 2001, 2002. And then I held on to it. And then I was like, this feels like it's getting a bit frothy. And I got out of some of it. I didn't get out of all of it, but I got out of a chunk of it. And then I think it's luck. It's not divine intuition, but I remember being obsessed with Google and how can you put the phrase in, where is the nicest coffee in LA? And you get this question answered.
All these things pop up.
It was madness. I'm like, I don't know how this works, but this is the new beginning of everything. So when stocks came out on Google, I'm like, and I put all the money in that.
Oh, wow.
And then when Apple, I saw a schematic of an iPhone in about 2006. And I said to my wife, Cindy, who she still lets me do everything and anything I want. God bless her. I said, you know, I kind of want to take all the money out and put it in Apple. And she's like, why? I'm like, just kind of got a gut feeling. She's like, do what you want.
And so you said around the time that the iPhone was...
Wasn't out.
Oh, pre-iPhone.
It was $83 a stock.
Wow.
This is when the clamshells were out.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah, we had those in high school and they took about 10 minutes to warm up.
So old.
No, but it was so funny. They remind me so much of like, they took forever to turn on. And it would be half the class for them to turn on. But yes, continue.
And it was that. And so, you know, technology is something that's a love. And I'm like, okay, pushed it into that. And then Netflix came out, pushed it into that. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a lucky run.
Is your wife from here?
She's from Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
She was a boat person. She was a refugee.
Do you guys go to Vietnam?
Yeah, we got married there.
Oh, really?
In a Buddhist temple in Saigon.
And do you still have family in England out of curiosity?
My mother just passed away. And that's it. We were a very small family.
Oh, wow.
There's my dad. He died 12 years ago. My brother, me, and my mum. And my parents were single children, so no extended family.
Gotcha.
So that's it. No more Lorimer's in the UK.
Yeah, so you're hanging and rocking and rolling here.
I'm done.
I like it. So did you want to be on a show, on a real estate related show?
No.
No.
No. Well, I don't say I didn't want to, just in case Netflix are listening.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
very
yeah.
grateful.
But it's not like you were seeking it out, like telling...
No, I didn't have an agent. I wasn't going on auditions or anything. I actually didn't even have any representation until after the show had come out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is fine. But I wasn't looking for it. My belief structure was I'm a massive personal branding person. And in real estate, which I love the real estate community, but it can be as dull as dishwater.
Uh-huh.
It's not like TV. There's not a ton of sparkling personalities, certainly that were putting themselves out on social media.
Oh, right. So, like, the people who were working were maybe just, like, posting pictures of houses.
Oh, or here I am at the open house.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily, like, as personal as, oh, here's taking my dog for a walk or, you know, getting a little bit more personal to Pete Lorimer or whoever.
I just thought the brand, you know, I was like, how do you brand this? I'm like, nobody in real estate is running hard at video and personal branding. So I ran really hard at it, kind of, again, that gut instinct. Mm-hmm. That I had with the stocks and with real estate. And I like being where there isn't anyone. And so there was no footprints, there was nobody else doing it, and I could look like a total plonker, right? Which is British for, well, you can figure out what that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ish.
And I just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing videos and videos and videos, and I'm like, oh my God, nobody's watching and nobody cares. And I got really scared and I just kept going and going and going. And then I felt the wings of the plane lift. And then I started getting viewership. And then my company grew, PLG Estates, grew
organically. Gotcha. So making YouTube videos, like posting pretty frequently on your Instagram, your Facebook page, just like all the places that you can put content out there. You just started doing that.
And I started making it content of value. So it wasn't just, here I am at my open house.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was like tips for people, mm-hmm. and then they would watch it and get something from it, engage with it, and share it. And interesting. And your business started to grow?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And now I went from a handful of agents, now we've got almost 200.
Wow.
And I don't recruit. They just call up and join.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Fantastic. Yeah. I love them.
So then did someone that was like developing this particular show stay here, see something you put out there and just thought, oh, this guy's got something we need?
So I got a call You know, if you sell real estate in the middle of LA, you often get these cattle calls, none of which I'd responded to, right? Where they're like looking for an agent for house hunters or looking for... And I'm like, I'm not interested in any of that malarkey. Yeah. And then to the credit of Ashley, who was a casting assistant, she wrote in the email, TV producers seek the talents of Peter Lorimer in the headline. Oh. And I'm like...
Well, they wrote my name in the subject.
You wrote my name in the subject, so okay, I'll see what you're all about. So I she just caught me at a moment, and I called her up, and she was delightful, and she said, you know, we'd like to have you in a Netflix show, and I'm like, come on,
yeah.
Who is this?
Yeah.
Is you an agent? Is this a prank?
Yeah,
and I'm like, she's like, no, it's for real, and I'm like, okay, didn't think for a second I had any kind of shot at this. And I had a great conversation with her. Then I did a Skype interview with the head casting agent. And again, it was great. I had a load of laughs, but I never thought that it would go much further. And then they had me do a chemistry test with Jen. And, you know, there were a few other people there as well. And again, my head, I'm like, yeah, it's good old crack, but nothing's going to come from it. And then they kind of called me up and they said... congratulations, you got it.
Just like that?
Just like that. And first thing I ever tried out for.
And you kind of, it seems like you bring sort of the business mind to the show. Mm-hmm. And Genevieve, she was on Trading Spaces.
Trading Spaces, yeah.
And a bunch of other stuff.
Loads of stuff.
She's kind of like leading the charge on as far as like the design, interior design front. So when you were going, I guess, auditioning for the show, did they explain that that would be your role?
Yeah,
okay. And it was specifically about, they explained the whole premise of the show. This is going to be short-term rental.
Yeah. They had heard that, because I was doing short-term rentals kind of before the word Airbnb came out.
Oh, okay.
I have some clients in Malibu Beach and now clients in Hollywood Hills, Bel Air, who have beautiful houses. And they were just leaving them vacant for periods of the year. And
yeah, so, that is a big thing here.
It's a big thing.
Like, well, not necessarily for, but like just for people who want to rent a house and have a big party.
Well, more it's that, well, the people in Malibu Beach, for example, not the celeb clients that I have, but regular folk. I've got some people who liked and still do like to rent privately their home from, say, June to September.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, and they do it on a weekly or a monthly or a sometimes daily basis. And I would handle that for them. And sometimes these people were getting, you know, 40, 50, 70, 100,000 a month.
Wow.
For these houses, and some of them are older, and so that's not only their entire income for the year, it pays the mortgage, it pays all their expenses, it pays everything.
Yeah.
And they get 8 months a year on the water in Malibu for free.
Yeah, that's pretty cush.
Yeah. And so that's really where short-term rental was born.
Gotcha. So then Airbnb grows and becomes larger, and I'm sure that you see that and you're like, well, shoot, I already been doing this.
Yeah, but I love it. I mean, I love that it's like Uber, right? The power is in our hands.
Oh, totally.
You know, you're not going through, and I love the real estate community, but you're not going through a bunch of slimy brokers. You're kind of just going straight to the meat, and I think it's great.
Yeah, cutting out the middleman.
I think it's great. I mean, for the higher end stuff, I think it will always be handled by agents, but you know, for the 1, 2, 3 stay of houses that are under a couple of million or under 3 million, it should be handled by the owners or the owner's personal people and not just some real estate agent that's popping in and out. You should.
Right.
I hope I'm not offending my community here.
No. You're speaking
the truth
to the people.
I'm speaking my opinion.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, and it's coming from your experience.
I'm all about power of the people, right? Mm-hmm. I want the people to have the power and to be able to use their home as a small industry to supplement or replace their income.
Totally.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one woman on the show who lives locally in Malibu. And her story was my favorite. I don't know. Something about her I really found endearing. For one, she was a widow. Her husband had passed away. And presumably she'd lived there with him for, you know, however long. And so you guys coming in and redoing this space, because she said she'd planned to maybe use this as a supplemental income and travel part of the year and put her house on Airbnb. And you guys coming in and redoing the space was like a transformative time for her.
Yeah, cathartic, I think.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Oh, exactly. Did you expect it to be like that?
So she was one of the most adorable guests on the show, right? She they were all great, but some of them obviously stand out more than others. And I think because she was a widow and she choked up a lot about her ex-husband, and I could see that this property really is everything. It's her safety blanket, right?
Yeah.
And she really was loved and adored by all of us and the crew. And she was nervous, right? When the sledgehammer started flying.
Yeah.
She was like, oh my God, this is my house on the beach. If you wreck this, this is it.
This is all I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it began to transform. And then all of those emotions that you saw at the end of the show, they were all completely genuine.
Yeah.
And we've stayed in touch with her, and she's a doll, and she's doing great, and she's traveling, and she's getting great income, and it's a huge win.
Yeah, I looked her up last night on Airbnb, and she has a ton of great reviews from people who'd stayed there.
Yeah.
Because I was curious, like, how many of these could I actually find on Airbnb?
All of them, I
found all of them. I couldn't find the Austin house.
Oh.
Which maybe just the listing is under something else now, or maybe they changed something about it. That's the only one I couldn't find.
But you found the one in Palm Springs?
Yes. Love that one. The swaggiest one ever.
Austin Powers.
Yeah, that one's super cool. So going to all of these places and kind of revamping the design and renovating things, did you find that most of the people on the show were like totally open to whatever you guys suggested?
That's a great question. totally open?
Yeah.
Or
like, was there any chaos off camera? Like,
oh
no, you're not
God.
Doing this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, listen, I'm sure Gordy won't mind me saying this, but New York, Brooklyn, right?
Oh, the Yellow Block?
The Yellow Block Inn.
Yeah.
So Gordy, he was a single dad, still is a single dad, right? And again, this is his baby. And I want the listeners to know that we didn't roll up and pay for everything. The homeowners contributed.
They invested most of it, right? I think.
I don't know the exact ratio, but okay. it was a considerable amount.
Okay.
It wasn't like we just rolled up and said, here you go.
Yeah.
They put in a grip.
Yeah.
And Gordy was, you know, he's a New York hustler. And he was like, so, hey, you guys, hey, that's not a bad impression, actually. hey, well, yeah, so why are you doing this? Why? No, don't rip that out. No.
Yeah.
And it was like, smash, wallop. And I could see that he was freaking out. And I could see that he was like, oh, wow, this is all really real now. Because we had lots of phone calls before. And because of the speed of the production, we got there on a Monday. We left on a Friday.
That quick? That was one of my questions, is how long did it take to...
5 days.
Five. That's like light year speed, right?
Light speed. I mean, we did a lot of planning before we got there, but not one hammer was thrown until Monday morning.
Gotcha. Okay. So are these people showing up during the week while you're doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, don't take those cabinets out.
No, they were showing up and like going green and like freaking out. And then, of course, every time we brought them back at the end of the show, Genevieve killed it. And
yeah,
you know,
it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Every single house.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so beautiful. It's like, did she make like a design board or something? Like, what is the design process? Like, how much time leads into just kind of planning what will go into the space? Like, because some of the places are large.
We're big, yeah.
So it would take a while to like shop for stuff.
We had about 3 months of phone calls of pre-production before we actually started shooting.
Yeah.
And there were Genevieve, she did like design palettes and design boards of what she was thinking.
Yeah.
And then implemented it on site. You know, it was not like she just winged it while we were there. It was all very thought out. But I have to give her credit. I mean, it was amazing. And all the little trinkets and the little nuggets of loveliness that she did.
Yeah, the one in Austin, is the backyard is so beautiful. Yeah. The like mural that she had painted on the pool shed, and it definitely seems like very thought out and just like meticulous.
And there was a great team, you know, that helped, because it wasn't just Jen and me. There was like masses of people.
Yeah.
And then watching all of the owners watching the lights come on as we I broke down the business plan. I kind of bulldozed their business plan and then built it back up, and watching them go, oh, I never thought about using a really great photographer.
Yeah.
I never thought about staging. I never thought about, you know, optimization through SEO and pay-per-click and all of this stuff.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so anyone that is renting out their house or their condo or their apartment and putting it on Airbnb, if you have a friend that's a photographer, I feel like open up the curtains, get some natural light in, and have your friend come over, take some like professional photos. And that could even just help increase your
So let's listings. That's a great point. So let's talk about that. For the amount it would cost for a professional photographer, ballpark, let's just say it's $500, right?
Yeah.
For $500, and the thing about short-term rentals, Airbnbs, is it's evergreen. You can use those photos for years.
Right.
So it's not like selling a house. I'll spend $2,000-$3,000 on a photo shoot, and then it's gone. Whereas if you spend like $500, get a good real estate photographer to come in, do great pictures, do a little bit of post, brighten them up, tweak them a little bit, you will get that back in bookings, and the amount people book your space for, you'll get it back in no time, couple of months, and you'll make that money back, and then it's just more profit.
Yeah. It's like those subtle things that you guys talk about in the show that I'm like, yeah, honestly, you could get so much more return on your investment if you just do these little things.
And don't have granny's old sheets. And
yeah.
Don't have a...
Kind of like you were mentioning before with the Airbnb and Leeds that had the really good soap. Just like those subtle things, or even having the like in some of the spaces, like you guys stock the fridge with just like sparkling water or champagne, yeah, or just like little touches like that. I loved how, I don't know if a lot of short-term rental spaces have been doing this, Airbnbs have been doing this, but there's one where you guys pair up in Texas with a pit master and like kind of pair up with local businesses. So if you stay here, we actually have this thing going on with our friend down the street who makes really good brisket, and he'll come over and show you how to do it. Like little stuff like that can really help. Or if you know of someone, a chef that could come over and cook for you or something.
Exactly. I mean, again, it's there are some parallels to hospitality, the traditional business of hospitality, like the place in Malibu that we shot at, right?
Yeah.
You can hire that chef for an additional cost,
yeah,
to come in and cater a dinner for you and all your guests. It's fantastic. You can also have, you know, any kind of, you can have someone come in and show you how to use organic vegetables in a typical Californian way, surfing lessons.
Yeah.
We shot this bit that I don't think we used it in the show, where there was yoga lessons on a paddleboard outside of the place in Malibu.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
I don't think we used it in the show. There was so much stuff. But there's all of these little add-ons that make people... And the thing that I want to kind of express is that the extra mile isn't really a mile. It's just a couple of 100 feet.
Right.
But you will separate yourself from the pack just by, you know, for example, if somebody flies in from Europe, right? They're going to get here. They're probably going to have kids that are going to be angry and screaming.
Right.
Have some treats and snacks.
Yeah.
Have fruit. Have sodas. Have water. Don't have alcohol if they're coming in from Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Don't have pork scratchings. You know, there are certain things that...
Right. Taking a little bit of time to, like, research your guest or whoever is coming. Yeah.
Send them a little questionnaire. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Food allergies, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that can even be said for so many other things in life beyond just, you know, renting your house on Airbnb.
Literally every meeting.
Yeah.
Tell me about yourself.
Yeah. Right? Exactly.
It would make life easy.
Yeah. Here, have a terrible tasting black coffee.
Yes.
It's that newsroom coffee. So do you feel, you mentioned the woman in Sharon in Malibu.
Sharon.
That was her name, right? Yeah. How it seems like she's been doing well since the show. Have you guys caught up with all the other people?
Yes.
And have they all seemed to have a good return on investment?
So I'll rattle through them right now. So let's start with the people in Seattle, who they really kind of melted my heart.
Oh, yeah. With the cool mystery machine turned chic houseboat.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Well, there was a little bit of a backstory because what we didn't want to kind of exploit on camera was the fact that these guys had really kind of grabbed all the shekels that they had. Mm. And this was a kind of a last gasp because they'd bought this boat. It was kind of a money pit.
right.
that had one guest for $100 and the toilet didn't work. Mm. And it was kind of a disaster. And so for those guys, they needed to make $4,500 a month to kind of break even and pay for school and this, that, and the other, and docking, mooring fees, etc. And I'm pleased to say that they were hitting double that.
Wow, really?
So, yeah, they were getting double that. And then Paso Robles, they're booked beyond.
Yeah.
Palm Springs is booked. Everybody is severely in profit after the show.
Yeah. I imagine most people who take the time to watch all the episodes and just, I mean, even just see a couple, you immediately have to Google if you can find the right spot online, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that's like the natural thing to do. So I'm sure traffic to their listings is probably definitely increased.
I'm going to try and get a little bit of leverage at South by Southwest. I'm going to go to South by Southwest for the first time. And I'm going to see if I can stay in that house because everywhere is sold out.
When is that? South by Southwest?
It's March.
March. Oh, yeah. In SoCo. The luxury SoCo with a pool.
Yeah.
It's all about the headline. It's amazing. That's kind of how it is in news, too.
We spent a while kind of crafting them all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it SoCo? SoCo, I forgot what it was.
I was trying to find it. That's the only one I couldn't find. And I was typing in all the keywords. I'm like,
SoCo pool house, right?
Hidden something. Something like that. Yeah. I don't know. So have you gotten a lot of like other people who watch the show and they're like, will you give me advice for mine?
Oh my God.
You know?
Oh my God. And I love it and I'm grateful, but oh my God.
Yeah.
I have people from the farthest crevices of the earth asking for advice, and I'm glad, and I'm flattered, happy to give it. But I mean, they come in on a daily basis.
Yeah,
a lot.
Like sending you photos. What do you think of my
Do you think what color should it be? Blue or should it be green? I'm
yeah.
Like, oh, you know, let me get back to you on that.
It's called Google.
Yeah. And then a lot of submissions for the show. Like people are like, oh, you know, I live in a wooden cabin on the top of a hill in Peru. I think you really should use this for the show.
Yeah, season 2 goes international.
That's what I'm saying, girl.
How great would that be? So you guys filmed this, what, like a year ago?
We filmed it exactly a year ago.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, so you could go international. That'd be great. Was there any city that like pleasantly surprised you? Or, you know, maybe you had you been to all the places you went to?
No. So obviously I've been to New York a lot.
And, yeah.
I'd never been to Austin. Which was amazing. Austin really pleasantly surprised me because, you know, it's Texas and you don't think of it being as kind of, how do I say this politically correct, progressive as kind of LA.
Yeah, of course.
It felt like the sister city to LA. It's super like, you know, lots of young, trendy folks sipping on their $7 lattes, you know, with beards and pork pie hats. I'm like, am I in Silver Lake right now?
Yeah. right?
And Hudson was lovely, and it was bloody cold. It was so cold in that place, and it was a very interesting town for me. My bones were just like frozen in the
freezing
middle. It was so cold. What did we do? We did Palm Springs, obviously I've been to. Paso Robles, obviously I've been to. Washington D.C. Oh my goodness! So that was the first time that I'd spent any time in Washington. I DJ'd there a bunch back in the day.
Uh-huh.
But I got to actually spend some time in the city and walk around. And it is beautiful. It kind of reminded me of London. I was there and the air was crisp. It was like late November, early December, and these magnificent buildings. I felt like I was back in London. So D.C. was a pleasant. I didn't think it was going to be unpleasant, but it was more beautiful than I thought that it was going to be.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends who have lived in D.C. and I didn't go to visit them, and they've since moved, and now I kind of regret it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dramatic. That we've all seen that, whatever you call it, forgive me, America, I can't remember, that long thing with the three buildings on it.
Oh, the mall.
The mall.
What's it called?
It's called the Mall.
The Mall, right?
It's called the Mall. Okay. You've got Capitol Hill and then Washington Monument and...
Yeah, and...
another one.
Lincoln. Is Lincoln there?
Let's go with that.
Okay.
Let's go with
that.
Oh, it is. Maybe. Okay.
I went as a kid, and the only thing that I remember is where Abraham Lincoln was shot in the theater and the Smithsonian Museum. That was pretty cool as a kid.
It was really, absolutely magnificent. you know, I was running up and down the mall, and yeah, I got a massive kick out of it. I mean, and then finding, you know, like the major courts and the what's the last court in the land? It's
the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court.
Yeah,
was right there. I'm like, oh, this is brilliant.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? I think it's called.
Oh, I didn't get that far.
It's where the basically like remains of soldiers who died in war are put in this underground tomb thing, and they haven't been identified, but it's guarded 24/7, 365 days a year, and they have these really this very specific way, kind of like changing of the guard in front of Buckingham Palace.
Right.
But I do remember that too.
One thing I did go to that was very moving, and I did, you know, I do a lot of vlogs, and if anybody's interested, you can go on YouTube, type in Peter Lorimer, you're going to see a bazillion videos. And I did some vlogs of me in Washington, and I've got family vlogs in there as well. One thing that was very, very moving was I went to the Vietnamese War Memorial, which I met my wife because there was a war in Vietnam, and she came here. And just seeing this endless black graphite wall with all of the names of the deceased, and there were, you know, Americans there. There were some Vietnamese there as well, and it was a really moving moment for me because my father-in-law, who I can tell you I loved him as much as my own father, who he passed away 5 or 6 years ago, and I knew his struggle, and I knew the struggle of my wife's mum, and to be there at that memorial, it just tied it all in, and it was incredibly moving for me. You know, I brought a tear. Nearly is now, actually.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the beauty of DC. And like, see, that makes me want to go. That makes me want to go there even more.
Go in the winter, it's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, just seeing things like that.
And I went
like
to the
beautiful.
White House and
yeah.
It was great. I mean, I was a total tourist.
Yeah. No, I love being a tourist.
And I went to on the show. You saw the show, right? We went to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that lady in there, wow. I mean, she sat with Martin Luther King. She sat with Obama. She sat with, you know, some of the giants of the political last 50 years. She sat there as there was riots in the street and people came in. I mean, it was just...
Yeah, it's incredible.
Magnificent. Magnificent.
Yeah, that is incredible. So, okay, maybe we'll find out if there is a season 2 of Stay Here on your...
Twitter.
I don't know.
If there will be, I'll be shouting it from the rooftops.
Yes, definitely. What do you have going on for the rest of the day?
So the rest of the day, I'm going to pop in the office. I have to get ready to go to Miami tomorrow to speak at the Gary V Agent 2021 conference. It's been a very, very busy beginning to the year. Uh-huh. We have a lot of deals occurring right now. Last year, at the end of the year, was a little stagnant in all financial markets and real estate markets, and it's kind of off to the races again, which is brilliant. And then endless content that I put out on a daily basis.
Yeah, you are personal branding content king.
Oh, it's exhausting. That's why I haven't slept since the 80s.
It is exhausting. It is. Creator burnout. I learned that's a thing. So just don't get burned out, people.
Well, I've already been burned.
I'm burned and burned again.
I'm resigned to the fact that it is a monster that just will never be full.
Yeah.
And every day I have to get up and...
You're a go-getter. That's the personality of just like a getting it done
kind
of guy.
Yeah, every
right?
day. Well, you do too.
Yeah, you know. okay, well, thank you for coming to chat.
Oh, my pleasure. That's it?
Yeah.
Done.
Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. If you haven't already, please leave us a rating and review of the podcast on iTunes to help the show continue to grow. We're available wherever you get podcasts and also on Instagram @OlympicNBundy. Once again, I'm Kelly Taylor, and thank you very much for listening.